problem here is really that brain tumours are nasty things, and we don't understand them well enough. We need to better understand brain tumours, how they arise, how they grow, how they spread, so that we can learn how to treat them better. And so what we've set up is a way to provide tissue samples that the researchers need for their studies. So what happens essentially is if somebody has an operation on a brain tumour, the neurosurgeon who's performing the operation sends a sample of the brain tumour to the pathology lab. Pathologist looks down the microscope, makes a diagnosis of the type of tumour, and this helps to guide treatment for that particular patient. And then after that process is complete, the remaining tissue is stored in the department store or archive. And that's a process that's been going on in the UK for about 40 years, really, since the early 1970s. And obviously, as a result of that, these departments have built up vast stores with many tens of thousands of brain tumour samples, which obviously can potentially be of tremendous value for research into brain tumours. So this is really a system to provide access to that kind of tissue.
And in terms of where they're kept, you say that you know each hospital will have its own archive. Will they now be sent somewhere central, or will they keep their own archives and just sort of archive descriptions or pictures or something like that?
Yeah, so the tumour tissue stays in the hospital where it originated from. So there are nearly 30 different specialist neuroscience hospitals around the UK. Nearly all of them are participating in this network. So the tissue samples stay where they are in the department store. So really what we've done is provide a system. So we've got the details of the samples on a database, and we cover some of the sort of administrative aspects of the study that's required for study of human tissue samples, like ethical approval and some other aspects. So it sort of it means that we know where the samples are of a particular kind that a researcher might need, and it means that we've covered some of that administrative work, so studies can start faster, and it frees up the time of the researchers to do their research.
And in terms of how this could help patients in the future, just how important do you think this step is?
Well, I think it's quite important because the database contains many tens of thousands of tumour samples. It's very large numbers, and this is unique in the world as far as we know. And there are some kinds of studies that can only be done with very large numbers of cases. Good example would be a study of genetic abnormalities that occur in tumours. And that's an area that our knowledge is expanding very fast about at the moment.
And I mean, you talk about knowledge expanding very fast. I mean, I know that brain tumours obviously can be very serious, extremely severe. Would you say that we have come a long way in the treatment of brain tumours?
I would say that we're starting to make progress. Really, I think over the last few decades, progress has been quite slow. I think we're now just on the brink of some quite major advances in understanding particularly genetic abnormalities that occur in tumours and how that affects how the tumours grow and how best to treat them.
And I know it's probably difficult to generalise across all brain tumours, but how treatable are they nowadays if they are diagnosed early? Is it like many other cancers that if they're diagnosed quite early, there is a good chance of survival?
Well, you're absolutely right in that it's very difficult to generalise. Some brain tumours are truly benign. I mean, not that anybody would ever want to have a brain tumour, but there are some which grow very slowly, and the neurosurgeons are able to remove them completely, and that's a cure. There are unfortunately other brain tumours which we know very little about the best ways to treat. They grow very rapidly, and we're not really very good at providing treatment for those that's effective.